The time is 7:30 PM. I can hear my voice on loudspeaker from here. And I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for June 21st, 2021 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Stow?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. We welcome you all to our City Council meeting tonight. I know that you are here on a couple of three different issues, and we think that's terrific. We invite you all to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mr. Frye.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, by the way, there are agendas on the side tables if you'd like to pick one up. Additions to the agenda, I have no items for this evening. Mr. Frye?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council? Hearing none. Mr. Sanford? Mr. Schreier? Captain Newbaker, welcome. Any issues for us?
Thank you, none, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Law Director Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And we welcome Laura Bigelow in tonight as our acting clerk in the absence of Mrs. Booker. With that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as submitted?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the agenda is approved for this evening. Item number four is approval of our meeting minutes from our last meeting 2 weeks ago on June 7th. Mr. Frye?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move adoption and approval of the minutes for the meeting of City Council for June 7th, 2021 as submitted.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the council meeting minutes from June 7th, 2021 as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those meeting minutes are approved. So we're up to agenda item five, and we are honored to recognize our senator in the Ohio Senate, Teresa Gavarone. And Mr. Sanford is going to explain to us why she's here.
Thank you, Mayor, I think all of you know that I'm directly involved with the CIC here in Sylvania and one of the officers with Oliver Turner from the township, and then we have some other folks from the CIC here tonight, and we'll hear from them shortly. But each April, we have an awards program for the CIC to recognize new businesses and new projects here in Sylvania, but we also take the time to recognize people that support Northwest Ohio, Senator Teresa Gavarone was busy at work down in Columbus that day. She couldn't join us, so we just didn't want to hand her the award we had for her. We wanted to do it in a public setting, so we put this together. Again, Oliver and I kind of worked that out between the township and the city, and this seemed to work out the best. So at this point, I'd like to bring up Mr. Jeff Clay. He's the current president of the CIC from Toledo Memorial Park, and he'll let handle the introduction and the presentation. Jeff?
Thank you, Bill. As Bill said, I'm Jeff Clay, president of the Sylvania Area Community Improvement Corporation. It's kind of a mouthful, so we just call it the CIC. And I'd like to recognize some of our executive members that are here tonight. Mr. Mayor, Craig Stout. Also with the city, Bill Sanford. Oliver Turner with Sylvania Township. Tiffany Scott, our secretary, and she's the head of the Sylvania Chamber of Commerce. And Gerald Hoyak of Lyle Hospital, and he's our vice president. So the CIC is private business and government working together to better the community. And we kind of have an image problem, and no one actually knows what we do. But we do quite a lot. And our mission is to attract and retain business in our area. So we're here tonight to recognize our state senator, Teresa. Teresa Gavlin in District 2, and her support for the Savannah area. Teresa is a graduate of the BGSU University of Toledo Law School, and she's here with her husband, Jim, and I live in Bowling Green with their three children. She's a past member of the Bowling Green City Council for two terms, appointed to the House of Representatives in 2016, where she won elections in 2016 and 2018. In 2019, she was appointed to the State Senate, where she serves today. Her election bids were under endorsements by groups such as Chamber of Commerce and the National Federation of Independent Business, which I'm a proud member, where she's been given the rating of 100%. That's pretty good. So the Savannah CIC would like to thank Senator Gavlin for her support of Savannah in the state's capital budget, the third health projects at the Tamil Shiner Ice Rink and Burnham Park, Kelly Stevens funding with her support. Senator Gavlin? On behalf of the Savannah Community Improvement Corporation, I'd like to give you this award for your help in maintaining and retaining businesses here in Savannah and helping our community be the place where people want to live. So congratulations, Savannah.
Every 2 years is a challenge to work with the Ohio legislature to make sure we get those capital improvement dollars to come back to Savannah. Over the years, you've had some good examples, especially with Barbara Sears and Lynn Holman, how to bring dollars back here. But you followed through with that, and we really appreciate those dollars coming back to our community. So thank you for your work. You must never be home, you know.
It is something we've worked on and honored his absolute beautiful award, and I can't wait to display it. I guess I can come on this. I mean, it truly is an honor and an honor to serve you. I'm a business owner myself, and I know I have a small restaurant in Bowling Green, Mr. Scott. We have heard this, but, you know, we had a challenge in here, as you all know, with COVID and working together and working with the Toledo Municipal Chamber, working with our community leaders to really get through this pandemic and get to the other side. There's been a lot of challenges. But to support those projects that really help keep those dollars here in the area, they were great projects. And I was so happy to support them. And I've lived at Tamil Shiner for years ago. My son played hockey from the time he was 4 years old until he graduated from high school. And certainly love that facility. And Burnham Park is going to be just a treasured area for the whole community. So, very happy to support you, and I look forward to working with each of you. I gave each of you my card. Don't ever hesitate to reach out and call if there's an issue you'd like to discuss, or project you'd like to discuss, but certainly...
We'll be in touch.
I look forward to it, and thanks again. It's so nice to be here, and I appreciate you taking time on your busy schedule. I'm honored in this way. Thank you.
John's a past president, also here tonight with the CIC group, and Chair, you want us right there? We're going to have a council meeting with the Senate director. Mayor, can you step up? Because the council members come around, but first I want to get Jeff and then the mayor. Yeah, Mayor. chairs. We'll get a couple, just when he was mayor, we'll get everybody in council. Okay, thank you, then council, come on up, we'll get, we'll let council, you want to be an amateur, council?
Yes.
Okay.
We want the mayor.
Hey, come on over here. You just all your hands around. Thank you.
Get out of here, we're gonna go to work on you. You take care. Thanks for being here.
All right. Council is ready, let's proceed with the agenda. We're up to agenda item six. This is concerning the Haroon Park Trail Bioretention and Stream Restoration Project. For those of you that have walked the river trail the last few months, you've seen the bank improvements that have happened there and the structures that were put in at, on the bottom of the stream, in the middle of the stream, and you can see it's rippling down there more, keeping the water directed towards the center to stop working on eroding the banks. And it's, I think it's been a very successful project. The project is west of the pedestrian bridge right there behind SOMO and has improved the appearance of that very much. But we've got, I think, a final change to the contract here. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the work that was done down there, the mayor did a very good job of explaining everything and the success of the project. There are some things that CEC, civil and environmental consultants, did on the project in relation to the original contract. And they were part of the original grant agreement, but because of the way the grant worked, the service actually separated. So it's now time to move forward with those services. Most of it is the post-construction services, some public education pieces, signage, and things of that nature. There is some final report that they have to submit for us. So they do that on our behalf. They requested $11,000 for that work. That was the work that they had in the original proposal, and we find that to be fair and reasonable. Of that amount, only about $1,100 is actual city funds. The remaining will come from the grant. So not a large portion of that is actually city funds. But we do recommend approval. I think CEC has done a good job on this project, and we hope to have a couple more projects, similar projects, coming your way yet this year for things to do into the end of the next couple of years. So, we recommend that we have this change.
You think water courses don't change location? Certainly, you know, the Mississippi has and the Missouri has. Well, Oliver River has as well. It was when property lines were drawn, they went down the middle of the river. Now, because it's moved, sometimes there's water clear on the other side. That's true of the sister's property behind the library. It's true of the property behind my office. We need to try to maintain those and limit the erosion of those any further. And we're off to a very good start here. We do have in your council packets ordinance number 49-2021 to authorize and accept this amendment to their original proposal. Mrs. Cappellini.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to read by title only, ordinance number 49-2021, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to approve and accept the amendment to the proposal of Civil and Environmental Consultants Incorporated for the design build services for the Haroon Park River Trail Bio-Retention and Stream Restoration Project, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $11,000, waiving the second and third reading, and passing this as a, or adopting this as an emergency measure.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 49-2021 as an emergency measure. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 49-2021 is enacted as an emergency measure. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 7, the Cushman Road Project. I appreciate council's patience in us developing options. In the past, we've talked about having three options. I was not satisfied with the options that were being presented to me, and I challenged and brainstormed with the service director to come up with another solution that would meet all the needs that this project presents. And I am talking about option 2 from the memo that was issued to city council via email on Friday. Issue, or option 2, is a new approach that we haven't talked about before. It took creativity and some brainstorming to come up with this one. This one would install in the existing swale an 8-inch solid wall corrugated plastic pipe at the bottom of the swale, run that pipe through the concrete pipes that are already under the driveways, and then between the driveways where needed, install 6-inch perforated drain tile. Now, that accomplishes a number of goals, and then backfill it all flush. That accomplishes goals that became very apparent as this project proceeded. This project originated as the Cushman Road Waterline Replacement Project. And then, as we got in there, and because of a gas line, we had to put the water line on the west side of the road. We excavated into the road, found that it had, was deteriorating because of moisture levels underneath that road. So the number one thing that this proposal takes care of, with the 6-inch perforated tile going in the current excavation of the swale, is it will provide under drainage support for that roadbed, dry it out, and allow that roadbed to last longer than it would with the pre-thaw of a wet roadbed base. The second issue was, although not everyone on the street had a drainage issue, we had been approached in the past, and it was brought to my attention in addition by former Councilman Lukey that we needed to do something with the drainage up there. And thus the swale solution came about, and as they were excavating the swale, they came across a number of sump pump outlets and drainage tile outlets, some of which had been totally blocked over the years and gushed out as we found those. This solution would allow those to be tied in permanently to this new 8-inch drain pipe. So the drain pipe would serve not just the under drain for the road, but for those residents that have a drainage issue, it would allow an outlet for them for the current projects or for future drainage projects as they wish to do on their own property. And then finally, this solution allows us to, we put some stone in the bottom of the swale, put in the two pipes, put some stone on top of that, and then backfill it flush with soil and reseed it. This will meet the requests of all the residents, it seems like, to reclaim their front yards without the swale in the way. And I think this is certainly my recommendation and the administration's recommendation to proceed with this solution. Because of the price tag on this solution, it can be done by a change order. The concrete traditional drainage system would have had to have been re-engineered and rebid and would have taken months to come to fruition. We've had conversations with the contractor on this one, and we think we can get it done in pretty quick order. Now, for a contractor, that might mean weeks, not days, but he, right now, he's saying, well, he'd like to get in there and finish the project as we would like him to finish it. We do not need to tear apart any of the driveways that have already been done because we will use the concrete pipes to put this new plastic solid wall pipe through. And it's my recommendation that this be done at the city's expense as a change order to the contract without going through the necessity of an assessment project. I don't, you've all heard the other options. This is the new one, and this is our recommendation after brainstorming, hard work, and working with the contractor. I'm open to questions, or you can ask the questions of Mr. Aller, but that's where we're at tonight. And as you can see in your memo, what the price is, $172,000. This would be borne out of the capital improvement fund and can be done with the current contractor and get it done here in the next month or so. Mrs. Westfall.
Mr. Mayor, I, first of all, thanks to you and to the other members of the administrative staff that worked hard to come up with this additional option. It does sound promising, and it sounds like a nice compromise. But just a couple points of clarification. I don't know whether you can help with this or if Mr. Aller should. It sounded to me from what you said that all of this new piping and this process would allow it to still have the drainage it needs that we were looking for, but ultimately, the property would begin to look like a regular grass lawn.
We're going to restore it to the original grades, not put in the portions of the ditch that were there before, but we'll make all of the front yards drain towards the road, but then you don't go right up to the surface of the road. The road is crowned, so there'd be just, you know, a little bit of edge of the road there, but that, if water gathers there, it'll go down through the sand and the stone that we put there and end up in the perforated tile pipe and be gone.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, the you mentioned about a month for construction. Do we have a, I mean, I know it's difficult to get contractors out and working. Do we have a sense of, so we should expect that this is going to be completed sometime this summer if we move forward?
Yes, with councils. We take a motion from council tonight to authorize this expenditure. It would come back to you in ordinance form on July 19th for approval as a change order, but we do not need to wait till then to start the project. I'd like to have a motion to put it on record that that's how it's going to be paid for. We bring change orders to you after the fact all the time. Mr. Aller, you spoke directly with the contractor. Tell us, you can't promise for what the contractor wants to do, but tell us what your impression was.
During the conversations, they understood that this was something that was proven to be something that we wanted to do basically immediately, and come in, get everything installed, get the grading reworked, driveways finished up, and close the project out. So, they have full intention to do that. They were not willing to give me a definite schedule, but. They're still working through some of the construction phasing and pipe supply. Sometimes it takes, you know, 2 to 3 weeks just to get pipe. So they have to work through some of those things.
So
there'll be something that happens quickly.
Your question, this summer?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, they were just, it took a long time, and part of the reason they didn't get the metal is because they were working on a very large project in Michigan, that bid on Thursday, and it tied up their whole.
With the Michigan Michigan Drain, South County Drain Commission, which was actually putting in water lines, not drain lines.
It's a $20 million project, and they actually were the apparent bidder. They want to get this thing done before they start
anything up there. For several years with South County Drain Commissioner while we were negotiating with Toledo on the water contract. And it's worked out very well for all of us, including them as well. Additional questions?
Mr. Mayor, I assume we've talked with the neighbors and with our neighbors, and that they're
There are some here tonight, and Mr. Sanford has been talking to.
Yeah. Mr. Sanford, you talked with them? You want to give us a report?
Yes, we talked to most neighbors, and there's been some communication, and the, what I've been hearing from the neighbors is that they want their yards back, and this would accomplish that, and with the alternative way of doing the tiling that the mayor explained, I think would meet that, and then the concern about it being an assessed project, and this is, you know, the council just did that, and that would not be the case, and it would restore the yards. I think that is what they were looking for.
I do have,
Please come up if you're going to speak.
Hi. Sharon Ball, 15th Cushion Road. Thank you all for listening to our complaints. I do have 22 signatures of people that have issues now, that they are in favor of having issues filled in, covered over, and not be assessed. I do have emails and signatures. Most everyone has agreed. I have two people that I kind of go over, like, try by mail, email, and phone, but they have rental property and have not been able to go over that.
And that is a possibility, just to fill it in, but the excavation's already there.
Right.
I think it would be short-sighted to not put some drainage in before we backfilled it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think we're setting a dangerous precedent here for other projects, because it's normal to put under drains to protect the roadbed anyways, and so that is what we're doing. We were doing it with the swale, we can do it with the drain tile. So I don't think I'm backing City of Sylvania.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. McCann?
Yes, I'd like to thank Mr. Sanford, the administration, and the neighbors for their patience through this process. I know it's been some kind of an ordeal for a few of you, at least, and I appreciate your working with us to this end, and Mr. Mayor for coming up with, and Mr. Eller for your team in coming up with a solution that will work. So that's my comment for this evening.
So, Mr. Mayor, are you looking for a motion?
I'm looking for a motion to authorize this additional work to be paid for by the city out of the capital improvement fund. That will give us the authority we need to authorize the contractor to begin.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to authorize option number 2 in the service director's memo of June 21st. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll get them going as quick as we can. There is another issue for Cushman Road. That is the speed hump petition. This came in last week. I'm going to let the law director give us an update on this and give council their options.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Speed humps did come up in a previous conversation.
Yes, yes. And the clerk of council did receive a petition for the speed humps on June 15th. There are 75% of the signatures in favor of the speed humps that are signed on the petition. The next step in the process, there's a policy and a process that was adopted by city council back in 2005. That requires 80% of the signatures and also requires postcard verification by the clerk of council. So the next step in that process is to move forward with getting the postcards and to then recalculate the percentage. And in conjunction with that, there's also a traffic count requirement that Mr. Aller has already begun working on and some existence of a speeding problem issue. So we've received it. We're moving forward in the process. If you would like to refer to a streets committee or if you just want to move through the process, we can do that too.
Well, at this point, I think I'd like to refer to the streets committee before we unilaterally for this project change the policy. I know we were.
I think you have the option of waiving the policy, and I want you to be aware of the fact that the traffic counts are not going to come up to what's in the policy right now.
That's what
these are limited to more neighborhood collector streets, not a street like this that is not have anybody much on it other than residents.
Right.
We're also going to do a check. I didn't have Chief Snore here to do it with, but Captain Ubaker, we're going to want to run some speed checks back there and see if there is a speeding problem.
We have the equipment to do that, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Again, that can be waived as well. But it's not the time to do it tonight. I think we need to get the rest of the information and probably be back to you on the 19th of July to do this one.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Just as a clarification, who typically, when we have a situation like this and we're installing, I call them bumps, speed humps, do we do that as city administrative streets people, or do we hire that out?
You mean the construction of them?
Correct.
Our streets department installs them.
Okay, so we don't have to do another contract or change order or whatever in regards to that if we decide to move forward?
Over the years, the city developed a scribe that has the right up and down to it. We do these ourselves, and city council should know there were speed humps on that road already. That gives you reason to waive the current requirements.
I just have a quick question. Is the policy the same for replacement bumps as it is for new bumps?
Yes.
But because city council set the policy, you can waive it or change it, and it's been changed many times over the years. It's more usual for a street that has speed humps and the street gets repaved, you pass the petition, they're not there anymore. That's happened on a number of roads, but that's not the request right now. We'll find out with the postcards, though. That's the safest way to do, to verify.
Okay.
I don't think council needs to take any action on this tonight. We just wanted to update you and let the neighbors know that that's the process.
So we're going to leave it in council and not refer to a committee?
I think you ought to refer it to the streets committee.
Sure.
I agree with that. Are speed humps the only traffic calming measure that we have or use? Is there any, is that our only option for slowing traffic now?
The only really other option is, are like bump outs or, putting a curve, fake curve into the road or something like that. But that you're really limited on where you can utilize those.
We can use signage too.
You can use signage. Doesn't have the same impact, but you can use signage.
Just wondering if there's anything better.
I'm going to make a motion that we move this topic of discussion to the streets committee for further discussion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And Mrs. Westfall, that's your committee. You might want to hold off on setting committee meeting until we have some more information for you.
That's great. Thank you.
All right. Any questions more from the residents? Thank you for coming tonight. At this point, we're going to move on to some new projects. Starting with agenda item 8. This is a new traffic signal and possible realignment of the entrance to Flower Hospital. It's to be paid for in part with a CMAC or mitigation air quality grant. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two items on the agenda are in relation to those grant programs. The first program that we have, is at Maroon Road Fire Hospital in the Ravine. Council had authorized a study of Maroon Road and with two primary objectives to decide how to best handle the river trail crossing. We have a separate project for that, and then also was it possible to improve the entrance into Flower Hospital, or was the signal warranted? The last time that study had been conducted, the signal was not warranted. Or this time, the study indicated that it was. The traffic count had modified enough to warrant a signal. As part of the congestion mitigation air quality CMAC program, We are proposing that we submit that, such a project at the Potter Hospital entrance, and in essence, changing their entrance from where it currently sits, and changing it so that it is directly across from Marina Drive. So we would have a four-way intersection at Ravine Drive, and the other entrance that they currently have. I won't say will go away, because it may have some purposes for emergency vehicles, but it will not be for public use, as stated somewhere, so.
You're talking about a signal at that?
Yes, yes.
Not a roundabout?
Roundabouts, ambulances do not like roundabouts, and the fact that all of them were going to be coming to that point.
What do you mean they don't like roundabouts?
If you're in the back of the ambulance, it throws people around.
Depending on how fast you're going.
That's true.
I have real concerns about a light there and how close it is in proximity to all that traffic coming off of Monroe Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are
we going to back up traffic at high points back to Monroe Street?
No, I don't believe so. I think we'll have things coordinated. Those signals will be coordinated with the ones that are at Haruna Monroe. So I don't see that as an issue.
So the ambulances are going to go through the red light.
That's what's being discussed right now.
And that leads to much higher impact of T-bone accidents, right?
Potential.
Right.
And what about, do you think you'll be sending like more traffic onto Ravine? I mean, Ravine's a quiet residential street. If you put the light there, do you think that's going to push more traffic onto Ravine? Because right now you kind of pass Ravine and you barely notice it was there. But if you put the light there, and then if people, that was the first thing I thought of. I had some other thoughts.
I don't think it would, because I think anybody that wants to go down Ravine is going to go down Ravine. If you're heading south, you're going to continue going south. I don't think that you'll take Ravine to then take a left-hand turn when you get to Monroe Street, or Main Street, I'm sorry, to continue south. So I don't think that'll increase traffic.
She's meaning the other way, from if you're coming from Main Street, turn
eastbound.
Either way, it just seems like a nice little shortcut if you have a light there. And I saw there, like on social media, people were complaining about the traffic on Ravine with the detour. That's why I thought about it.
Yeah, but that. My answer is no. I don't think that it would increase traffic on Ravine.
Mrs. Capellini is right. People have complained about traffic on that road for a very long time, and we put up those stop signs, and then people complained about the stop signs. There's two of them there. I think this project is to solve the left-hand turn into Flower Hospital. If you go through there during rush hours, as I do, you can have 10 or 15 cars backed up trying to turn left across traffic to get into the hospital grounds. I think that's the main thing we need to solve. And we didn't want to have a traffic light a few hundred feet away from the intersection with Ravine. And Flower Hospital, in preliminary talks, has agreed to realign their entrance with Ravine.
Can I just ask another quick question? Certainly I appreciate, Mr. Arrow, that the traffic studies have been completed and that they show the need for this. Is there ever a time when there would be low traffic, when you would put them in some kind of a flashing light circumstance rather than a full light, like at night or I don't know?
Probably through the evening. Yeah, we have. Well, I take it that practice is kind of curtailed. ODOT does not recommend. Actually recommends against putting signals into flash. But what you can do is alter the schedule, the timing. So what you have as far as green times and things of that nature, or how they're actuated during the daytime may be different from how they're actuated in the evening. So
thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Ms. Dow?
So I actually live right off of Ravine, so I drive this all times a day, 10 times, and outside of the last 2 weeks when despite our best efforts, it did become a bit of a shortcut. It normally isn't that difficult to get out of Ravine Drive, except for during those key busy hours. And so I guess I'm of a similar question about, or curiosity about, what options might be there for non-busy hours. I mean, I'm not necessarily against having the intersection there, because right now there is no sidewalk on the western side, so people off of Ravine Drive or in that residential neighborhood who want to get down to the bike path, they have to cross on Cameron Road at some point anyway, and there is no official crossing point because there's no sidewalk until you actually get to the official crossing point we're talking about after this. So I like having an official spot there to cross. I really like that the sidewalk is showing set back from the street, because it is a pretty uncomfortable spot to walk right up against that 35, sometimes more mile an hour traffic.
35, right.
So I appreciate those questions, the need to use the full capabilities of the light all of the time. However, I like that in the future, should it need to be there, it would already be there and ready. But I guess I mirror the question or the curiosity about whether or not we could have flashers or some sort of middle range when it's not so necessary.
So I have one more question, and it's about the CMAQ funding versus the actual project. Were there other projects you considered when you were looking at using the CMAQ grant funding?
The only other project that we looked at actually is the next project, Erie Street, Monroe Street.
Just because I know that the Metro Parks, they've used the CMAQ funding for trails. I was just thinking that it might be a good opportunity to even the project that the UT students worked on, from the River Trail to the University Parks Trail, if we could use CMAQ funding for something like that.
The fact that we don't have any right-of-way or anything for the next phase, I would not feel comfortable pulling a grant for something that we don't have the land to.
We can take a look at it, though.
I mean,
it's not ready to go.
24
to
27.
Yeah. Now, remind council, we're using CMAQ funds for the improvement at Silica and Monroe Street.
Mm-hmm. I think
compliments of City of Toledo. I think
Metro Parks has access to a different set of funds than we do.
What we're asking for tonight is a resolution authorizing the prepare and submit an application for the CMAQ grant program for this project. It does not commit us to the project, but the city has, and Mr. Aller in particular, with Mr. Shaw's help, have become very successful at leveraging our city tax dollars with these grant programs. That's why we have so much construction.
I would also indicate that when I looked at this, I thought about the fact that Comerica has made some level of commitment as well, which suggests that they must agree with the fact that there's a need of some sort, or they would not be willing to make that kind of a commitment.
They brought the request for a traffic light to us.
Okay.
Who brought the traffic lights?
Flower Hospital. And we, with their new president, who was here tonight, Daryl, we've been making good headway. Anything further to say about that, Mr. Aller?
No, Mr. Mayor.
I think that's, we just can't. And they're willing to realign their main entrance. The main entrance would be closed as a part of the project. Okay, we do have Resolution 7-2021 to authorize this application. Mrs. Westphal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce and read by title only Resolution Number 7-2021, a resolution authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to prepare and submit an application to participate in the Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Grant Program managed by the Toledo Metropolitan Area Council of Governments Transportation Improvement Program, and to execute contracts as required. I move final approval and adoption of Resolution Number 7-2021 and declare an emergency.
Second.
It's been Been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance, or Resolution 7, 2021, as an emergency measure. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 7, 2021 is enacted as an emergency measure. Let's move on to the next project, which is Erie Street and Monroe Street. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a similar situation. We did a study of Erie and Monroe Street, and then in May of 2019, we did that, and then in March of 20, we did an additional section of study to see how improvements at that intersection would impact the traffic into and out of the Sleepy Hollow subdivision, as Old Post Road is the only ingress egress for that area. The traffic study recommended a roundabout at that Erie Street, at Erie Street and Monroe Street, and then we also have had the section of Erie up to Maplewood in, on our radar for replacement, resurfacing project. It wouldn't be a reconstruction, but a resurfacing. We grouped those two projects together, and which came up to a little over a $4 million project. We're recommending that we request $2.8 million from the SDB Surface Transportation Block Grant Program, and then we'll ultimately, when we're ready, we'll request additional funding from Ohio Public Works Commission, anticipating our total portion of the project to be about $402,825, or 10% of the total $4 million project.
The drawing appears that we're going to have to acquire right-of-way on the north side of Erie Street to make this happen, Mr. Aller?
Yeah, there will be some right-of-way. We get into the north side a little bit, and then we get into the, the triangle property a little bit. We don't get into that one as much as what I originally anticipated, but we do get into that.
Those two houses on the north side are going to be impacted. What about their driveways? And it looks like they're probably losing 20 feet, something like that?
I'd say about that. At this stage of the game, nothing is to scale, so it's difficult to know for sure.
The one has a circle drive. Will that be allowed to remain? Not sure about that?
Not likely.
Yeah, I didn't think so. It's right into the circle.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be objections from a couple of homeowners there.
So I like the idea in general, just because that light when you're waiting at Erie Street to get onto Maplewood takes like forever. But I'm wondering if a Dutch roundabout, I don't know if you're familiar with those, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
It slows traffic down and it gives more of a space for walkers and pedestrians. If we would consider something like that, and then as long as we're repaving Erie, could we make it a protective bike lane?
We have to take a look. These are all, you know, please understand, these
I know,
drawings are just conceptual.
This is the time to ask the question.
Yeah.
Exactly, because if I, next time I ask, you'll tell me it's too late, the plan's done. I already know how that works.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, we can take a look at those.
So, Kevin, since I have 150-some-odd neighbors that are going to climb my frame about your gap study, I have some questions as well, as I'm sure you're probably anticipating. I'm confused. Is this going to make it better to turn left out of Old Post, or is it going to make it about the same based on the study?
I believe the turning left movement is improved a little bit. I think we improved one grade on that movement. With the project, there's a left turn lane in. That motion was improved with that dedicated lane.
I can definitely see that. My larger concern is when I'm on Old Post, trying to avoid getting T-boned, pulling out of Old Post if I want to turn left.
If you want to turn left.
And that's the concern I've heard from my neighbors, saying, hey, you just can't turn left. And the easiest time to turn left is at 7:20 in the afternoon, in the morning, when the traffic's all backed up and you get a nice person leads you in because Northview traffic backs everything up. So I'm a little concerned. Now, the application, is this like the Silica Monroe Street thing where we do it this way, we get community input, we go through the standard process that we went through? So
yeah, there'll be public involvement and everything, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, all of that gets done with both of these programs, actually, so.
Right, and then timing-wise, assuming we get the grant, how does this interact with the Silica Monroe project timing-wise?
Silica Monroe is scheduled for 2023 right now, so we'd be looking at either 24 or 26. We have a lot of work coming up in the next 4 years, and some of that work is being done on South Main Street, and we're seeing if we can coordinate some of these projects in with that. The STBG funding does have some flexibility on when you use it. The CMAC funding is a little more tied in because it gets spoken for so quickly. But the STBG money does have some flexibility in it. So we're taking a look at that for either 24 or late 26, 27. Because as you're aware, 25 and 26, the interchange project will be going on. And I don't want anything else on Monroe Street at that time. So.
I imagine our neighbors don't either.
Yeah.
So I'm a little unclear. You mentioned the Maplewood. Could you go through that again for me, please?
Yeah, the stretch of Erie Street between Monroe and Maplewood, and it actually extends a little bit beyond Maplewood, but that stretch has kind of been on our radar for resurfacing over the next couple of years. I shouldn't say couple, but few. That's part of our concern, is if we let that go until 27, it may be in pretty bad shape by then. So that's why we're looking more at the 24 time frame. But that piece has been looked at for resurfacing. We've applied for some grants with that, but it just hasn't been successful because the traffic counts aren't there by itself. But by grouping it with this project at Erie and Monroe, we'll be able to get grant funding for that as well.
You know, on the diagram here, Kevin, it doesn't look like it goes all the way to Maplewood, but what it kind of looks like, maybe it goes to Brainerd or something. Would it go all the way to Maplewood?
Yeah, I believe what we're showing here is just the roundabout, the project back here in Monroe.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have the resurfacing portion shown on here. Yeah. And Mr. Mayor, this does not need to be. We would have it if council wanted to refer, this to a committee or something. We don't need passage tonight.
We did have one other question. I had one of my fellow council members asked me about if something like this is approved, are we required to move forward with it? I mean,
you're not required, but we would lose in the next round of funding. We would lose. We would lose points for not following through.
I'd like to clarify that a little bit. It does not have to move forward in this configuration, just as Silica and Monroe. The configuration could change. It could be don't change the pavement, just change the lights, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I and put in bike lanes or something, and certainly do the paving.
Those sorts of decisions.
Yeah, it could be one of the other options that are within the study.
We would prefer not to lose the funding. We'll find a way to do it.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right, we do have proposed Resolution 8-2021, authorizing this application. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce and read by title only, Resolution Number 8-2021, a resolution authorizing the mayor and director of finance to prepare and submit an application to participate in the surface transportation block grant managed by the Toledo Metropolitan Area Council of Governments Transportation Improvement Program to execute contracts as required. I move final passage and adoption of Resolution Number 8-2021 as an emergency measure.
It has been moved and seconded for passage of Resolution Number 8-2021 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Resolution 8-2021 is enacted as an emergency measure. Okay, on to page, thank you. On to page 2 of our agenda, we're up to Agenda Item 10. This is a zoning ordinance application for a referral to the Municipal Planning Commission. I don't know whether Mrs. Reining or Mr. Aller should tell me about this. The Plan Commission has already seen a project like this, but it's growing. Is that the reason it's back?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. Actually, this was when it was annexed into the city of Sylvania, it was given the B2 zoning, and now they want to expand. So they never had a special use permit before, so it's cleaning up that issue, and they would need to apply for a special use permit amendment if they were expanding their the buildings, the facilities at their campus anyway. So it's kind of taking care of two issues.
And we do have a drawing here that shows the educational building that they want to add to the southwest of the existing facility. I've seen other configurations of this. That's why I'm a little confused. Okay. Mr. Hainum, this is just for referral.
For referral?
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we refer application number SUP-3-21 to the Planning Commission for its review and recommendation.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to refer zoning ordinance amendment application SUP-3-2021 to the Plan Commission for their review and recommendation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Up to agenda item 11. There was a committee of the whole meeting this evening at 7 o'clock. Discuss the TARDA ballot issue. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In regards to the committee of the whole meeting for the proposed ordinance 46-2021, which is the ordinance that would allow the inclusion of Lucas County as a member of TARDA, and TARDA being able to potentially place on the ballot if enough other communities agree as well for a sales tax for the November 2021 election. In attendance for the meeting were all members of council except for Ms. Stell. Ms. Stell chose not to attend the meeting because she has a conflict of interest and therefore did not attend. Also in attendance were yourself as mayor, Mr. Sanford, Mrs. Drining, Mr. Silvernow, and Ms. Bigelow. So the meeting itself, there was no questions from there were a couple of people in the audience, nobody attending online. There was no questions from the audience either for or statements either for or against the issue, and the question of potential timing of passage was discussed, and Mrs. Brennan explained that the legislation by the state of Ohio allows for the window to consider this with a majority of members starts on the 1st of July. So, and to get it on the ballot, that would be the first week of August. So we really have only one council meeting for consideration, and that would be our meeting on July 19th. In that regard, Mr. Hainum made a motion to adopt or move for Proposed ordinance 46-2021 to be added to the July 19th agenda, and Mrs. Capelini second, motion passed unanimously, and the meeting lasted less time than my report at 7:07.
Any further input for that? The administration will be, will put this on the agenda, we'll let Mrs. Cooper know to put it on the agenda. We are to agenda item 12. Are there any new committee referrals or other committee reports to be made at this time? Hearing none.
Mr. Mayor, I do have a comment on the Board of Architectural Review minutes. And when I reviewed them, I realized that the Midwest Shooting Center indicated their intent to apply for a post sign. We're running out of time for post signs, and it would, I think it would be appropriate for someone to talk to them about a monument sign.
I frankly don't think we do post signs anymore. We do monument signs.
Right.
The time is running out for post signs not to be taken down.
Right, right. I guess my point is, when I read that they were going to include a sign for the front of the building and a post sign in the minutes, I just, it'll probably be, might save them some money if we told them now, you're not going to get a post sign approval. So I don't know who's talking to them on a regular basis, but being a business friendly community like we are. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that comment. With no further business or questions, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
And second to adjourn, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting 4 weeks from tonight on Monday, July 19th at 7:30 p.m.